Some say Chinese is one of the most difficult languages in the world, and learning it is almost impossible.
So learning Chinese, the most difficult thing.
非常难.
So I'm sort of tone deaf. I can't really hear them.
I think the cultural mindset is the biggest complication for
the grammar.
知吃思吃都还难.
It's just complicated. So much.
Only because you're not learning it in the right way. Why not try Takeaway Chinese, where you can take some Chinese away and experience progress day by day. Takeaway Chinese, we will promise you a difference.
Welcome to Takeaway Chinese. I'm Nian Honglin with Georgia Massette here for this show. Hello, Georgia.
Hello, everyone. 大家好. I hope everyone is having a great day.
Great to have you as always. And I have to ask, because I trust that we had never had this conversation. During your journey of growing up, becoming an adult, do you have any special artsy hobbies? Because I don't, and I regret not learning a kind of music instrument or sculpture or painting or something as such. Do you have that kind of special talent?
Yeah, actually, this is a funny story. I am really not an artsy person, but at the same time, my parents really wanted me to have a artsy hobby when I was younger, and I tried everything from learning the guitar to painting, like watercolor painting, to sculpture, and I really wasn't great in any one of these things. I had a lot of fun, but at the same time, sometimes my parents and I would say they were a little disappointed. I weren't that good. And my brother either, so none of us, which is a pity, but I really appreciate art.
Well, in Chinese, we have a saying, 艺术细胞.
艺术细胞.
艺术 is art, 细胞 is cell. Like the cell that forms your body. So the idea is that for those who've got this really great talent, they have a lot of cells that are pro-arts. And maybe we're the kind with a lot of cells that are pro-science? I don't really know. What I'm saying here is that 艺术细胞 is a fun thing, a fun expression in Chinese to describe whether or not you're talented in arts. Yeah.
If someone listening is talented, you're a very lucky person. Because
yes.
Being good at art, it's such a good skill to have.
And you have a lot of 艺术细胞. 你有很多艺术细胞.
艺术细胞.
Yes, and for me, I can say 我没有艺术细胞.
我也没有艺术细胞. 我也没有艺术细胞.
Well, I don't think it's the case, but the sentence is definitely correct. And for those of you who are interested in knowing the topic of today's Takeaway Chinese, actually, we're going to discuss painting. This is a very interesting and, in my opinion, important form of art, because sometimes even, for example, Georgia here does not have the ability to create a very beautiful masterpiece. I'm pretty sure with your experience of learning painting, learning different types of painting, you would have the ability to appreciate art. And that is also very important. Aesthetic in Chinese would be 审美.
审美.
Yes, so 审 carries the meaning of assess or being able to appreciate, and 美 is beauty. So the ability to appreciate beauty, to even judge which one is more beautiful than another. I mean, it's something quite subjective, but at the same time, we can all agree that all the masterpieces are, you know, relatively more valuable or more important or basically more beautiful than a painting that I create. So that's the idea, 审美, aesthetic.
I completely agree with you. Art is not only meant for those who paint, for example, but even for the public, so the biggest part of the population who can't paint and make impressive work of arts. But art talks to people, painting especially talks to people, and it's a very important thing to learn how to appreciate them and study them.
In that case, hopefully after today's show, those of you who have a lot of 艺术细胞 and also 审美很好,
审美很好.
That means you have really good aesthetic ability. I hope you can also try to open your heart to a new form of art that is traditional Chinese painting, 国画.
Mm-hmm.
So for our dear listeners, if you're interested in Chinese culture and you want to get a grip on the Chinese language, then this is the show for you. Stick with us for 30 minutes and you soon see the rewards. And for more fun Chinese learning, follow our Facebook page, Learn Chinese, to watch many fun videos and live streams. But now, let's provide you with some free Chinese for takeaway.
我觉得国画和水彩画看起来有点像，
是有些相似，它们都需要用水来调和颜料，但也有不同之处。
是啊，国画注重意境，水彩画更看重色彩和光影的变化。
不过，画好它们都需要深厚的功底。
我觉得国画和水彩画看起来有点像，
是有些相似，它们都需要用水来调和颜料，但也有不同之处。
是啊，国画注重意境，水彩画更看重色彩和光影的变化。
不过，画好，它们都需要深厚的功底。
So this is the conversation that someone who maybe have some knowledge of traditional Chinese painting, 国画, and watercolor painting, 水彩画, would have with someone who has just seen this art form for the very first time, or they can have a fun discussion about it.
Yes, I think I imagine them strolling through a museum, maybe with both Western paintings and also 国画, and talking about it, we can feel that one is more expert and it's somehow teaching the other, which is great. I love going to museums with more expert people, persons than you, with guides also.
Me too. Yes, I love that. So let's take a look at the conversation first and then talk about the similarities and differences between traditional Chinese painting, 国画, and watercolor painting, 水彩画. So for the first sentence, 我觉得国画和水彩画看起来有点像。
I feel like traditional painting and watercolor painting look somewhat alike.
Yes, so 我
I
觉得
To think, I feel like
国画
One of our words of today, traditional Chinese painting.
Yes, actually I think it's short for 中国画. So we know 中国 is China, and 中国画 Chinese painting. And we live in China, it's the language of the country, and that is why we only short it to 国画. So if you take the characters apart, you would find it literally mean country painting, which makes not that much sense, but actually it's traditional Chinese painting, so 中国画 or 国画 in Chinese.
This is really, it makes a lot of sense. It's our country's painting, and at the same time, it wouldn't be the same 中国画 every time. It saves time, but also it's more fluent in the conversation.
Yes. 和
and
水彩画
watercolor painting.
Yes, and actually, it's quite literal. So 水 we know is water. 彩 is color, and 画 is painting, 水彩画, watercolor painting. And we know watercolor is actually a word, that is the type of the color, but here, you know, 水彩画. 看起来,
looks like, to look like.
Yeah, to look like as well. We know 看起来 is when you starting looking at it, when you start the process gradually, it will make you feel like it looks like this. It carries that meaning. 有点儿
有点儿, a little bit, or yes. Somewhat.
Yes, yes, somewhat, having a little bit of similarity, and similarity here is 像.
To look alike in this case, and to look similar.
To look similar, 像. Actually, 像 can be used to compare a specific characteristic of two things or two people. For example, if I say, 她长得像她母亲.
She really looks like her mother.
Yes, so she is 她长得grow, 像, like, 她母亲, her mother. So her looks are really like her mother. 她长得像她母亲. Or you can say things like, 她俩写的字很像.
their handwriting is very similar.
Yeah, their handwritings are similar to each other's, and we know 字 is the thing that we are comparing here, mm-hmm. and 他俩写的字, so the characters or the Chinese characters, the handwritings of both people 很像, look quite alike. Okay, how about if you want to say that little girl is as beautiful as a flower, looks like a flower. Well, actually, we're not saying she looks like a flower, but we're saying she is as beautiful as a flower. How to say that in Chinese?
This is really nice. 那个小女孩像花朵一样美丽。
Exactly. So here you would know when you say like, you're not only comparing the similarity, sometimes you're also using like or using 像 to make a metaphor. We know a person is not going to look like a flower, but we're saying the level of beauty are alike.
Oh, this is really interesting, and it could be quite useful. I didn't know before how to like draw metaphors, not literals, because this is not a literal one, but it's very, very useful.
Yes, so that's how you use 像. And then we have 是有些相似，他们都需要用水来调和颜料。
They do share some similarities, but both require the use of water to mix pigments.
So 是
There is.
有些
Some.
嗯哼，相似
Similarities to be similar.
Yes. So, 是有些相似 This is actually very interesting. You can either understand it as, yes, there are similarities here between these two things. So,、mm-hmm. you can say, 他们之间是有些相似之处 So, it's like omitting both the...subject as well as part of the object. So you're saying the similarities here, if we understand the sentence as that 相似 is used as a noun, then 是 definitely means there are. But、mm-hmm. we can also understand it as we are basically omitting just the subject. So 他们是有些相似 Yes, they are a little、mm-hmm. bit alike. In that case, 是 is no longer the there is. It's more like the be verb.So it does not really matter sometimes whether or not the grammar is exactly the thing or the kind of grammar that you deem as. Sometimes understanding the meaning is more important in language learning.
Yes, but it's very interesting. I understood it as there is or there are, and someone else could understand it in another way. So there are some differences.
But the key here is both of you could be right.
Yes.
Yes. And then we have 相似
similarities.
Similarities. How to say differences?
I don't know.
It's a little bit hard. It's 不同.
不同. Ah, yes. 不同.
Not the same. 不同. Differences. And 他们.
他们, they.
Mm-hmm. 都.
Both.
It can be both in this sentence. It can also be all.All the above, or all the later mentioned, so all. The adverb 都 is actually used to describe all or both in Chinese, we know this already, and it's common to use 都 in a variety of sentences where it would seem unnecessary in English. For example, 他们都在上海.
They are both in Shanghai.
Or they are all in Shanghai.Depending on how many people are there、yes. in the sentence. But in Chinese...
I tend to think it、yes. as in both、yes. two persons.
And the thing is, in Chinese, it does not matter. It does not matter whether it's two people or more than two people. You can use 都. And、okay. if you say 他们在上海, you're basically saying they are in Shanghai. But if you say 他们都在上海,The fact that they're all in Shanghai must be important to you or important to the latter part of the conversation. You would have something else adding to what you have just said. So something like, 他们在上海,上海很美。Ah, they're in Shanghai, Shanghai is a beautiful city. That's the kind of structure you would use without 都. But if you say, 他们都在上海,他们可以见面聊。They're both in Shanghai. They should meet each other face to face. So that is the reason to use 都 in a Chinese sentence.
this is very useful to stress the fact that it's very important that they're both or all in Shanghai, maybe because one person couldn't come and then they decided all to go. And without saying it, it actually clears the thing for the person you're talking to.
Yes, which is why if I say, for example, both of them love you very much, and if I want to stress both same time love you, I would say 他们两个都爱你。Both of them love you. See, there's this subtle connotation there. Okay, so what if I want to say, are your father and your mother both Chinese? Using 都.
你爸爸和妈妈都是中国人?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. See, that's how you do it. 你爸爸和你妈妈都是中国人吗? Are both your father and mother Chinese? See, that's how you ask the question. Maybe you have a little bit of a uncommon Chinese look and people would assume one of your parents is actually with foreign blood or something like that, and that's why they'll ask 你爸爸和你妈妈都是中国人吗? A question like this.
Okay, it's very useful.
Yes, it is. And then 需要
to need.
Mm-hmm. 用
the use of, to use.
水
water.
来
I wouldn't know how to come together to...
Yes, actually, 来 is kind of like a preposition and you use mm-hmm. it to make the sentence sounds more natural. But mm-hmm. in this situation, if you omit it, it's actually fine. So, 他们都需要用水调和 also works.
Okay, so mm-hmm. I can omit 来.
Yes, you can in this sentence. 调和.
To mix.
Yes, so 调 carries the meaning of adjust. And 和 means to put together. So 调和 is kind of like saying you put both of them together and you mix them to the state that happy with. So that's 调和. And 颜料,
pigment,
yes. So 颜色 is color and 料 is more like ingredient. So 颜料 is the kind of ingredient that can show color. So pigment, 颜料.
Pigment, 颜料.
Mm-hmm. 但也有不同之处.
But there are also differences.
Perfect. 但.
But.
Perfect. 也.
Also.
有.
There are.
不同.
不同 differences.
Yes. 之处.
之处, I would put it with differences together. 不同
yes,
之处.
Yes, you're actually right. So 之 is the ancient time apostrophe S, the ancient time 的. So it means... Well, apostrophe S. And 处 is a place or a spot or a point. So the things that make them different. So 不同之处. 不同 is actually an adjective. And by putting 之处 there, you're basically transforming it to a noun. Which is why I said previously 相似之处, so similarities, because 相似 itself is also a adjective. If you want to transform it to a noun, technically speaking, you should put a 之处 after it. But again, it can be omitted in that previous sentence structure.
Okay, can I ask you a question? Sure. Are 之 and 的 interchangeable or... 之 can be used in a more literate way to speak? Maybe
that is a
more
really
writing?
Good question. Unfortunately, the answer is no. You cannot use them interchangeably. And what's even worse is that you have to remember how to use them in different occasions. There is no specific rule here. I think a relatively general rule is a non-rule rule because it's like saying... The ones that requires a 之 would transform it into a formal or set phrase kind of thing. For example, 之处, mm-hmm. we know it means the things or the spot, but you cannot say 的处, you have to say 的地方. So when we use 的, it is usually used on itself as apostrophe S. 比如说, 他的东西, his stuff. If you say 他之东西, to be honest, the Chinese people would understand you, but they would think you're doing something weird because we know 之 is the ancient time 的. You can only see 之 quite commonly in set phrases. That's why I said most occasionally you would still have to remember all the places that you use 之, and other places can mostly use 的.
Okay, so yes, we can't use 之, the place of 的. We're trying too hard to be literate.
Yeah. It's like when you're saying, oh, you're so beautiful, and you say, they so beautiful. It's just, you know, strange.
Yes.
Similar feeling. And then we have, 是啊,国画注意意境,水彩画更看重色彩和光影的变化。
I can tell, traditional Chinese painting emphasizes the artistic feel, while watercolor painting focuses more on the colors and the variations of light and shadow. This is a complicated sentence.
Yes, it is, but it's very useful. And if we take it apart, actually it's not that complicated per se. I mean, the language structure is not that complicated. Mm-hmm. Let's take a look. 是啊。
是啊, yes, you are right.
Mm-hmm. 国画。
Our word Chinese painting.
Mm-hmm. 注重。
Emphasizes, to put the emphasis on.
Exactly. So to put the emphasis on or to stress.Certain character or certain element. 意境.
The artistic feeling.
Yes, the artistic feeling. So 意思, it means the meaning, but it's not the kind of meaning that you can describe with your words. It's not the kind of meaning that you can easily convey as a message. It's the kind of meaning that you have to basically paint a picture to demonstrate. 境 we know is 环境, atmosphere or environment. So 意境 is like saying you entering a very special place. Maybe in the space you do not have a huge banner with the meaning of that place hanging up very obviously, but you can totally feel it. That is 意境. So it's a very...I would say a Chinese kind of word. We would sometimes believe words or language cannot convey all of the meaning. Sometimes you have to feel the feeling.
That's very true. And also sometimes we don't feel the same thing watching a watercolor painting or a traditional painting. Everyone has its own meaning and interpretation, which is totally fine. We don't need always a very description or something. We can feel...The art.
Yes, that too. And 水彩画.
水彩画, watercolor painting.
Uh-huh. 更.
More.
Yes, value something more, greater of something. 看重, here is the value part, right? 看重.
Yes, mm-hmm. To focus more on.
Yes, so 看 means to look. 重 is heavy. So if there is a weight in my heart, if I value something more,It weighs more in my heart. So weight here, 重 is used in this word. 看重 means to value something more, to emphasize more.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. 色彩和光影的变化 here is actually the things that watercolor painting emphasize on more. And 色彩 is?
The color.
Color. And 和 is and, 光影。
Light and shadow.
Yes, so 光 is light and 影 is shadow. 的 apostrophe S, 变化.
The variation.
The variation, perfect. So it's not that complicated per se. If you, again, take a look at the sentence, it's basically saying 国画, traditional Chinese painting, 看重, value, 意境, the feeling or the artistic feel. 水彩画, watercolor painting, 更看重, value more. The variation, 变化. What kind of variation? The variation of 色彩和光影, of color and light and shadow. So that's the sentence.
Yeah, it wasn't complicated breaking it down. I was more scared maybe on the length.
Yes, but it's relatively long. But again, the structure is not that complicated.
Yes.
不过画好它们都需要深厚的功底。
However,My mastering either of them requires a very tremendous amount of practice.
Perfect. 不过。
不过, however, in any case.
画。
Painting.
Paint. 好。
To paint in a good way.
Yes, 画好 actually is to paint well. So to master that. 他们。
Them both.
都。
All of them or both in this case.
Yes. 需要。
There is a need to, requires.
Perfect. 深厚。
深厚, deep-rooted.
Uh-huh, deep. And actually, you can just translate it as deep or deep-rooted, but I have to say 功底深厚 is more like a set phrase. We know 功底 is practice, and also ability. So 功底深厚, remember it as a set phrase.
功底深厚.
Yes, so 深厚的功底.
深厚的功底. Practice makes perfect in this case.
Yes, yes, definitely. Okay, that's the conversation. How about we give it a go?
Perfect.我觉得国画和水彩画看起来有点像。
是有些相似，它们都需要用水来调和颜料，但也有不同之处。
是啊，国画注重意境，水彩画更看重色彩和光影的变化。
不过，画好它们都需要深厚的功底。You're listening to Takeaway Chinese with myself, Niu Hongli, and Georgia. We would love to hear from you. Send us your thoughts via email to learnchinese@cri.com.cn. Coming up next, let's talk about the differences and similarities between 国画和水彩画. Don't go away, so you will take some Chinese away. Welcome back to Takeaway Chinese. I'm Niu Hongli, joined by Georgia Masset. So Georgia, you have a background of learning painting, learning art. You say you don't have a lot of 艺术细胞, but I believe you're better than I am. I have to ask, have you appreciated or basically seen many traditional Chinese painting? 你看过国画吗?
I actually did.
How'd you like it?
I love them. I very often go to this museum in Nice that it's the Asian museum, but it has a really big focus on Chinese art. But I would say it's more focused on ancient art, so sculptures and pictures, also representations of bodhisattvas, buddhas also. And I really tend to get lost because I spend a lot of time there in Venice. Also, there's a very big museum and I appreciate Chinese painting and also art in general.
What's your feeling of Chinese painting versus, for example, Western painting, in your opinion?
Well, if we have to generalize, I would say first what is represented, I would say that for the museums I've been in recently, maybe there's more a focus on the human nature in Western ones. So the man is more represented. There's a big focus on the human nature. And I would say that Chinese paintings are more focused on representations of nature and creating this multidimensional. And sometimes the different dimensions are explored via some clouds and other representations of the sky that gives these different dimensions, not in the same way of the perspective of Western ones, but it brings... For me, it brings more tranquility and harmony with nature. Sometimes things that I don't see in Western paintings, that sometimes the most recent ones give me a little bit of anxiety.
Aww. Well, I get what you're saying here because, again, we're only generalizing because...Even for traditional Chinese painting, even we say that 国画很注重意境, the artistic feeling is more important. They try to convey not a message, but a feeling. And also we like to say that for a Chinese, traditional Chinese painter to be really good, he has to be not only good as an artist, but also know the culture, know the literature, be even a poet. That's all true in a certain sense, but actually,there are a lot of different types of traditional Chinese paintings there as well. We often say, oh, the feeling is more important. But for some traditional Chinese painting, for example, 工笔画, it's very dedicated. It's very specific. It's meticulous. It's not the willy-nilly kind of, oh, I'll show my feeling kind of painting style as well. I'm not saying which one is better than the other. I think they're both quite special and unique. And also there's the painting of...portraits as well in traditional Chinese style painting. It's just they can be a little bit different. And when we compare traditional Chinese painting 国画 with the 水彩画 watercolor painting, I think the reason that people find them similar is exactly like what's been demonstrated in the conversation, that they both require the mastering of color, of different shades of color. Even though for some 中国 山水画, the paintings that focuses more on mountains and rivers and forests, on the nature, for this kind, my feeling is that more often they only use ink. They do not even use a lot of different colors. Yet, with this style of painting, you can totally see the lush forest on the mountain. You can feel like you can see the water flowing, and you can see this tiny little person. You do not know who he or she is, but they are standing in the forest or at the mountain foot and doing something, and you can imagine what they're doing, imagine their feelings. And I think, in my opinion, that is 意境, that's the artsy feeling.
Absolutely.
And one other thing is about the white space versus the feeling the canvas, because Chinese ink wash paintings can also be represented without a background to show their characteristics, while Western oil painting tends to rely on using a background to make it appear more realistic. And for Chinese ink wash painting, drawing bamboo, trees, or flowers can be surrounded by a blank white background where each line represents the painting itself, while lines in Western oil painting functions as a outline. So to Chinese painters, unpainted areas do have the same significance as the painted ones to enable the audience to use their imagination to interpret the scene any way they want. And in Chinese, we call it 留白.
留白.
Yes, 留 is to leave something behind, and 白 is white. So to leave some white, to leave some actually space, something very important.
On purpose.
Yes, leaving it unpainted on purpose. 留白.
That's very important.
Yes.
It almost has some spaces between poems and poetry which are left on purpose, and they serve a really big meaning.
Yes. And that brings us to the end of today's Takeaway Chinese. I'm Niu Honglin with Georgia Massett. For more fun episodes of the show, you can visit our website at radio.cgtn.com and go to the column podcast. You can also listen to the show and read the script there. Find us wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Just search for Takeaway Chinese. Don't forget to leave your comment, questions, and ratings, preferably a 5-star rating. 感谢收听，我们下次再见。
Thank you, everyone. 再见。